3, and welcome to what we call our Monday night conference call, and an ongoing experiment, an ongoing, in fact, every moment is an experiment, of interdimensional lending. That's a good name. I got to write that down. Maybe that should be the new name for our Monday call, interdimensional blending, because...
Mr. Wayne, I understand all of that.
You understand that?
Yeah.
we're on the air, Wayne, you know.
Okay.
So watch what you say. No cursing.
I never do that.
Okay. So what is interdimensional blending? Talk about that. I have some really interesting topics. I hope Terry's on tonight because I have some really interesting things which I'd like to get other points of view on as we do this. And we're live on VBS, and we're also on a conference call line. And I am the principal author of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And if you're listening or tuning in for the first time, you probably know who Edgar Cayce is, and you will probably find this book very, very compelling, not just because it presents the fact that Edgar Cayce's back in the world. Most readers believe that. It also has the same voice that spoke through Cayce, which identifies itself as a group soul, called the Ra Group, giving their current message and explaining how they are, how to work with them. Now, you're hearing... Those of you on BBS, if you're hearing those beeps in the background, those are people coming in on the conference call. And anybody like to say, identify themselves, who's on the call now that hasn't done so already?
Got Matt in Ohio.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
And we have Wayne. And we have Kathy.
And hello?
And hello? Who's that?
This is Perry, and I met you in the coffee shop in L.A., Miramar, I think. And I'm from Eugene, Oregon.
Hi, Perry. You know what? I read your email.
Good. Good.
Love that.
I'm just delighted to be on.
Did I get back with you and tell you about this tonight? No.
Oh, well, you had already done that. And that's why I jumped right on. Yeah.
Now, where is the coffee shop where we met?
Well, all I know is that I had just gotten back from Thailand, and I was at the airport on the overnight to wait for my plane from L.A. to Eugene. So it was some little, like, La Hacienda or some...
Hacienda, at the Hacienda Hotel.
Okay. Yeah, and you right. just walked in, and we had eye contact, and next thing I knew, we were talking about your book, and I bought one, and it was a very wonderful opportunity for me.
I'm so glad you're checking us out tonight. You know, I picked up a piece of paper with Perry's name on it, and I said, I have these pieces of papers all over the place, because I'm... not organized enough, and you know, I think you know it could be really important. I should. I sent her an email and I said, "I don't know if I know you from somewhere, but in case you do, if you want to get back with me, I have." So she sent me an email back and said, "Oh yes, we met at a coffee shop and I read your book and it's been changed my life, and here she is."
So, thank you.
Fantastic. You know, I don't think, when you got my book, did you get questions and answers with the Elohim also?
I did. I felt very honored. And I just gobbled all of that up immediately. And I loved that. I still have it.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know you're on the radio now, right?
Oh, no, I didn't. I'm
just telling you, just so I don't get sued for violating your privacy, but we're having a conversation not only are we on the radio, we're on a conference line, okay?
All right.
And so it's okay. It's like, you know what? People love it when spontaneous.
All right.
Real.
I'll probably get a little more shy now. Thank you. I shouldn't
have told you, right? Okay.
Okay.
So who else is on the line?
Maya.
Hi, Maya.
Robin.
Hi.
And Robin, and who else?
Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
Marianne. Hi, Marianne.
Hello.
You see, Perry, I go to a lot of coffee shops.
They're all women.
That's not true. We have Wayne and Matt on the line, okay?
Okay. Good.
And this is Lynn. I'd like to say your name and your city. Oh, okay. Now we're getting the shy ones coming on. And sometimes people are shy because they don't know what they're getting involved in and they just want to listen in, and that's okay. Anyone that is not shy that wants to say their name and their city?
Anna, Berkeley.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Wayne.
Anyone else? Okay. Is Terry on?
As in the one that talked too much, me?
No, not Terry.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll be quiet. Okay.
Terry. Terry is, in the questions and answers with the Elohim, she is the lady that did the channeling in that.
Oh.
And,
There are 11 participants in the conference.
And she said she would be on tonight. Did somebody else just check in? This is Wynn. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, we have the right amount of people listed. Okay.
There are 12 participants in the conference.
Well, the way this call started was that I was having these conversations, and I'm saying this for Perry's edification, and anyone new who's listening on BBS, let me mute everybody for a moment.
All callers are muted.
I was having these conversations with these voices through two of the people that I was having personal relationships with. And it started out, plus I was writing a book about this, and it started out where I was getting just amazing information and understanding from the celestial realms about how things work down here. And they tell me a lot of this has never been presented before. And that there was this new way of looking at things where the forces that have intervened in our history that we thought of as God have actually, in most cases or in many cases, been one or the other or both of these two group souls that we have been calling or that have identified themselves in present time as the Elohim group and the Ra group. And the Ra group is composed of graduates of this realm who have gone through umpteen lifetimes on this planet or in other planets and gotten off the wheel of reincarnation and then act as a helper for those of us that are still stuck here. And the Ra group is made up of many subgroups and sub-councils, and I don't know all of them. In fact, I don't know most of them. I just know the ones that identify themselves and talk to me. And it was the Ra group who was talking to Edgar Cayce and currently David Wilcock. And while I'm writing the book, suddenly I have a voice coming through talking to me saying they're the Elohim group. And the Elohim group, apparently, is also a group soul that's part of original creation of this realm that has not come in to a series of incarnations that has existed as pure energy, holding the energy of creation from outside this realm, but able to beam in and recreate matrices from where they are to where we are. And which means sometimes they can participate in some kind of miracle, because all of us are at the bottom of a bunch of matrices, our physical bodies, energetic matrices, different timelines that are all, we can't see, but many of us have had some kind of experience where we've tapped into that part of ourself. We do this in our dreams, we do it in our intuitions, we do it in our psychic sensitivities, we do it in our sensitivity to auric fields for those that have those kinds of sensitivities. And as we go through all these timelines, spiritual people would talk about the eternal now. The eternal now, in other words, where time stops. And so the eternal now, where time stops, would be where all these matrices start. And having this communication with these group souls, I started to learn how to bring their energy from where they are into this realm in a way that other people could experience it. So, in the course of this phone call, if you're listening in for the first time, you might consider that in between my words is an energy. And at different times in the course of the call, we may just stop and feel the energy. But they've told me they're here on the call, so that as I'm talking, if you're open to it, they can tune into you and they can work in your energy field in a positive way. Now, they don't ever intrude. So this is why it's good to study the material, so that you have to decide if it's real, if it's positive, and that wait a second. Okay. If it's real and if it's positive, and if it's something that you can trust, because it's kind of like we're talking about in by normal things, invisible forces that you can't see. And when you talk about invisible forces, there are also negative forces, which are invisible, demonic forces, which are invisible. So it's very important to be careful what you're open to, because you don't want, well, it's free will, so if you want to, it's okay. But most of the people that are attracted to this work do not want to be open to those forces. And so if you're analyzing this for the first time, then it's good to go through your own scrutiny, to read my material, to read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, to read Questions and Answers with the Elohim, which is a book that right now we're giving away free to anyone that requests it. And in fact, you can go on the website, dimensional-shift.org, and this is something new that we've put together. It's a Yahoo group which you can join, and you can get audios of our phone calls. You can get notices of all the conference calls we're doing. You can get transcripts of all the things, and it's probably like that Yahoo group is like a constant connection with his energy and a connection to the sources that are behind this. And in the world today, we're living in a pretty big, bad world on one hand, and there's a lot of things going on that are definitely negative, definitely have a negative intent. It's no accident. And if you don't have something to hold on to or point yourself towards that is positive, it's not easy to stay out of fear. So today, for a while, we hope that we're providing something that's positive that will help you stay above the waterline. And of course, at a certain point, you may not need this anymore, and you may be holding the energy for others so they can stay above the waterline. But it's okay to be a little needy when you first start moving into this kind of growth pattern, because what the first thing that happens is that when you start opening your matrix up to these huge energetic archetypes that we're calling good souls, when you open your matrix up to them energetically, the first thing that's going to happen is it's going to stimulate and bring to the surface many of the lower patterns that you have been carrying around for many lifetimes. And everyone has those patterns. Everyone has them. In fact, the problem is that so many people don't know that they're carrying those patterns around, and they think that's who they are. So when something comes that's a huge archetype like this, it suddenly stimulates a new view of yourself so that who you thought you were starts to either start fighting because it wants to be that. It doesn't want to grow, and it'll fight with the thing that's catalyzing it or reject it or judge it. Or it's starting a process so that you can surface all those patterns and release them and anchor yourself in a new, higher reality. And one of the things about this particular period that we're in is that there's a very high density of energy in our physical plane. There's a high density of energy because we are at the end of a cycle, the end of a 75,000-year cycle, so that things happen faster for the better or for the worse. We all are manifestors. We all are manifestors through the connection of our thoughts to this energy, to this field, to these other dimensions. It's as if we're writing a script all the time, and we're sending the script into these higher dimensions, and the higher dimensions is sending back down the synchronicities, the meetings, the circumstances that allow the script to be written. And normally it takes a long, first of all, most people are not very, consistent. They'll be writing this script, and then they'll be writing the opposite script, and then they'll be writing this script, and I'm sure you understand that. I'm sure you've all done that, and that's not bad. It's just the way it is, you know. And so if the script keeps going back and forth between two poles, you're not really manifesting. You're kind of just treading water. So you've got to take the script that you're writing a little bit onto the one side so there's an emphasis so that over time the transformation that you want will occur. Because we all want some kind of transformation, I would say, in our life. We want something that's not there, that we wish was there. And so we're all trying to figure out how to recreate our life flow so that the things we want are there. Now, maybe what we want is success in the physical world in some way. Maybe what we want is a romantic love relationship. Maybe what we want is to be living in a more divine consciousness and to be able to be of service to more people. And we are constantly, in our thoughts, actions, and visioning, recreating ourselves. And but I think you can probably look at your own self and see how you go back and forth. Like, I want to be more successful. Okay, here's one for me, okay? I want to be more successful. I want more money. I want things to work. I want more people to be involved in the work we're doing. That's one of my thoughts. And the other thought goes the very opposite is, I don't want responsibility. I don't want people depending on me. I want to do what I want when I want, and I don't want to be obligated. So, you know, I see that I have to work on the way that I flip between those two things. Because if I'm just flipping back and forth evenly, nothing will happen. There will be no forward movement. So I need to create my own vision, my own messages to the larger part of myself and look at the part, honestly, that is uncreating what I would really like to happen. And so I'm sure all of you, if you look at yourself honestly, will see how you very rarely have a consistent and clear vision and intention. It goes back and forth, back and forth. And as you start to observe it carefully, and you observe the thoughts that are moving it back and forth, you can start to repair, recreate, change the motion so that slowly but surely it will be having a forward movement. Now, of course, because we're in this end of a cycle and we're in this dimensional shift, it's like all of these things happen far faster now than they ever did before. So the changes of thoughts and the relationship and the connection with the other dimensions is far more connected now. So where things may have taken even a lifetime to change, where people had to go through lifetime or lifetimes of meditation or being monks to purify themselves, it doesn't take so long now. But it can be very intense, that purification. Purification means surfacing the patterns. And surfacing the patterns means pain, oftentimes. So one of the really good things about the group that we're doing, we have an ongoing series of these conference calls, and they're not just happening on Monday, they're happening 7 days a week, and there's a small group of people that have been working with these energies now for quite some time, and they have been lifting these very patterns, and they are creating a loving energy flow, people that have never even met each other, and they are creating a community of people right on this telephone call, and a support system. And what's the advantage of having a support system and a community like this? Well, if you're going to surface your patterns, and surfacing your patterns, another word for that is St. John of the, I forget his name, the guy who wrote The Dark Night of the Soul. It's a Christian term, but it's actually a universal concept that if you're going to clear your patterns, they have to surface. And when they surface, as I said earlier, it can be very painful. You can experience trauma, fear, pain, emotional pain, everything. And as it comes up, if you don't have a support group, you're not going to probably go through it. You're going to backpedal and go to some place that is got a more contracted matrix, but which is more comfortable. And most people don't have a support group. If they go through the kinds of things that they might have to go through to release their traumas and their pains, if they go through them, then their friends will think they're crazy. They'll think they'll end up in a psych institute. Of course, it's different for everybody. And some people have come into this life, and they don't have a lot of baggage. And oftentimes, all they have to do is clear a few mental belief patterns, and they're off and running, and they're open. They don't have big energetic blockages. But most people, that's not the case. Most people have huge energetic places of stuckness. And when they confront these energies that we're talking about by these group souls, it pushes against their stuckness and pushes it to the surface. And it can be painful. So the great advantage of having these calls that we're doing is that there's a stable datum to hold on to cling to be dependent on even, so that you can allow yourself to go through your own dark night of the soul and have compassion and understanding and patience and unconditional love outside of yourself to give you the courage to stick to it and get over it. And of course, how long is it going to be? It's going to be different for everybody, so there's no way to tell. It depends on how deep your pattern is. It depends on how deep, how high your intent is. But you can't, this is stuff that you can't do in your mind. You can't think it through. You can't understand it through, although you can understand the process. And by understanding the process, it allows you to be patient with your own self. So when this process starts for you, you don't run away from it. Because if you don't have an idea of the process and how it's supposed to feel, you will look for some way to get out of it and to find comfort, and which will turn to be another distraction eventually. Now, is Terry here? Is Terry on the line?
Yes, I am.
You were late today. You were late today.
Yes.
Okay. For those of you that have read Questions and Answers with the Elohim, Kerry is the probably principal channel in that, who answered all those questions. And oftentimes we've had conversations on this line where she's answered some questions also. Now, whenever I call her just before the line, she says, "You're not going to ask me to channel, are you?" And then I was up all night doing this and doing that. And I always tell her she doesn't have to do it or she doesn't feel she can get into it. But usually she ends up getting into it. So we'll see what happens. What time is it now? A lot of times people on the line say, "How come you didn't let her channel? How come you talk so much?" It's 6:30. I had scribbled down a couple of notes here that I was thinking of that would be really good topics that could be great to get some added insight in our channel sources. Keeping in mind we have, through Terry, we've accessed two main channel sources. One of them has been the Elohim group. Again, the Elohim group is, now by the way, if you pay close attention to your energies, when I talk about the groups, oftentimes they come into the space. And you can actually feel them, because they want to connect with you. It's kind of like a radio receiver, and it's like I'm invoking their frequency, and they will come into the space, and you can feel them. So the Elohim group has a huge understanding of how this realm was created, as they created it, how things work down here, the interrelationship with timelines and matrices and sacred geometries. They can explain the history of how they have intervened and worked with different people and different groups. And, of course, they can work with this group right now on the phone line. And so, as I said, as I talk about them, some of you are feeling them. And if I stop talking for a few moments, you'll notice that the feeling doesn't go away, because it's really not me entertaining you. It's them kind of co-creating with me in the space and coming into your space. And the other group, soul, is the Ra group. It's made up of graduates of this realm. It's also an energy that comes into the space. And the Elohim group comes from way up high and beams all around you. And the Ra group seems to come from inside you as part of you. The Ra group, keep in mind, is made up of graduates and maybe millions or billions of individual souls that have graduated from this realm, and they can kind of be an inner companion, or they'll assign some of their members to you. And you can take a moment and feel their energy. Now, the Ra group has more understanding of how to get through this realm, because they've been there and they've done that. And whereas the Elohim, it's just like a bunch of, how do I say it? they haven't suffered as much as the Ra group has. The Ra group knows what suffering is. to a great extent. They know how hard it is to move through the obstacles and that hold you into this realm, and that it takes a lot of wisdom, of what else, of compassion, many, many things that the Rabbu seems to understand better than the Elohim. So they're really good at counseling us. And those of you who have read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and read the chapters on Attitude is Everything, Healing the Original Wound, got a taste of that incredible wisdom of the Ra group. And so it's kind of apparently, from their perspective, it's quite an extraordinary thing to have a group of people here understanding this unusual distinction of how the universe works with these two soul groups, and that it's something that they just can't tell somebody, because why should you believe it? So in my case, there just have been numerous experiences that have convinced me that this was the way things worked. And you all who have been in this group have been privy to the sharing of those energies, and many of you have had an experience that you've learned how to feel those energies for yourself. And I'm looking here at my phone, and I see my battery is getting lower because I forgot to plug my charger in, even though I brought it in. So while I'm talking, I might switch phones. I'm going to call on another line so that I'm not presently surprised and have the phone go dead. So one of the distinctions between positive groups and negative groups, one of the biggest distinctions is free will. Now, I thought I'd explain why free will is such an important aspect of the positive groups. The key to the positive groups has to do with the blending of energies. In other words, we are blending energies on this line right now. And to blend energies, there has to be free will. When there's not free will, it's where energies are being controlled from one being to another. And when energies are being controlled,
We have to exercise free will.
But when it comes into play, to the degree that you have here,
You also have the temptation to abrogate free will. Because with fear comes an automatic response to do whatever
you can
to get out of
fear.
And oftentimes, that involves controlling
another person's energy.
And this is
a very subtle thing.
You don't even know
who you're doing it.
It's an example.
We give a present to somebody, and
when they don't get something back in some way,
we feel hurt.
And why is that?
Because
you gave that present
to control the person.
Or else you felt
obligated
because they gave you something.
Now, I'm not saying this is wrong.
There are times when you have to honor social etiquette.
when somebody acts that way towards you, and they're in your life, and you don't respond to the way they have expectations of it, you're going to go through a lot of hell as a result. I'm sure you've gone through things with your in-laws or your children or your friends where You come upon something where you didn't respond to something purely from the level of the way the other person was expecting you to, and it didn't work well.
So it's almost like there are circumstances where you just have to choose.
Out of passion and wisdom to honor these kinds of etiquette.
But understanding that you are not free will, except for the fact that by overriding the normal thing and choosing it, that puts you back in free will.
Can you get close to the mic?
Can you hear me?
You're in a distance.
A distance?
Yeah.
Hang on, I can hear you clearly.
I can hear you clearly.
You know, I switched the phone.
Hang on just a moment. Let me go to the other phone.
Wayne? Yeah.
Can you hear me better now?
That's very good.
Okay, all right, I'll stay on this one, but I'll leave the other line open in case. I think I'll have enough juice on this to go through the call.
Okay, for
another 10 minutes. Thanks for telling me.
Okay.
And now I am like forgot everything. We're talking about free will, social obligations. I think the thing about this is you cannot go through life without getting involved in these kinds of obligations to some degree or another. And it's okay. And the way you do it is you just choose it. You choose it because so-and-so will be hurt if you don't follow the protocol. So there's no reason to create hurt for that person when it's easy to give them flowers or do what they need. But what you don't want to do is be the person who is doing things to create obligation. Because when you start doing that, you're now getting hooked in energies of a lower flow, and it starts binding you into this realm. And so the negative wants to bind you. They want to enslave you. They want you to be their battery. They want to use your energy, and the positive doesn't. And when you start establishing yourself truly in these positive realms, when that happens, and you suddenly have a pull to get into one of these lower types of relationships, it gets boring so fast that you're running the other direction. You can feel it immediately because you can feel the energy drop. You can feel the energy go out of it. That's because you're now operating in a higher framework of energy and not in the energy of give and take, of obligation, of I did this for you, you do this for me. And all of this gets created in a very, very subtle way. And so if you happen to be creating this in one aspect of your life, then pay close attention and look at how it's being created and learn how to uncreate it. And of course, as I said, the two ways to uncreate it is, number one, when you have a pre-existing relationship with somebody that's based on this kind of exchange, choose to honor it for what it is and choose to give it what it needs. Don't resist it and feel controlled by it, but choose, as long as you want this relationship in your life, for whatever reason, it's not bad to have these kinds of relationships, and you can't go through life without it. But if you don't want to get hooked in the energy, which is the key here, choose it. Choose to give the other person what they need. Maybe you have a marriage, and the person has all these demands. In your mind, choose to make them happy. Choose it, because otherwise, you'll be miserable. And then the second part of it is, don't create these hooks with other people. Don't use obligation as a way of hooking people. Don't use manipulation as a way of getting other people's energies. Use vulnerability as a way of getting energy. What is vulnerability? Vulnerability means have somebody that you can be honest with and be able to say, you know, I feel really lonely tonight, and if you feel like having dinner, I'd really appreciate the company. That doesn't manipulate anybody. It states how you're feeling. And if the person responds, it's a free will choice, and you'll have a good time. As opposed to, like, making pretend that you're not lonely and trying to seduce them into having dinner with you and understand that they're not responsible for fixing your loneliness, so they might say no. And if they do, then honor that. But at least you gave it an airing. Matthew had said, and I love this, he said, the way you create flow is through expressing your needs. And so it's okay to express your needs. But if you're going to express your needs, express it with someone who has the potential to fulfill what your need is, but without the obligation that they're supposed to do it. Do it with vulnerability and the willingness to be rejected or for them to say no. Don't even take it as a rejection. Just say it wasn't meant to happen.
And that way, the relationship stays intact. So here I am at 6:48, and Terry?
Yes.
I screwed up.
That's okay. I was up almost all night.
Okay. Well, listen, one of the things that I was going to bring in for channeled stuff, and maybe we'll do this next week, okay? And what I was going to do is I was going to talk about the fear of death and how to overcome it and how that is probably one of the, once you've met that challenge, then it allows you to be a far more greater service because you're not afraid anymore of any of the biggest fear of all time, except for public speaking, which that's what they say in books, that people are more afraid of public speaking than they are of dying, okay? So, you know, the world is in a pretty chaotic place, and it's possible any of us are going to get caught in a circumstance where we might have to face dying. And so that's something that I can't really give great counsel on from this place here, but I feel that it would be really valuable counsel from our channel sources. So that maybe next week, that would be a really good topic. And if you can get on the line early and get enough sleep, we'll have a conversation with them about dying and handling adversity. And their energy has been here through this, through this talk.
Two very different topics.
Pardon me?
They're two very different topics.
Oh, this week and next week, you mean?
No, I mean handling adversity and dying.
Well, we can do one or the other. If we have time, we'll do them both, okay? In other words, just how do we prepare ourselves for a lot of the changes that are going to be happening on the planet, psychologically, physically, security-wise, and to do a whole primer on that next week. And so hopefully that's what we'll do. And on that note, for those of you that are listening on BBS, we call in the light, and then we have each person put their own intention into the light. It is like a prayer. It is a prayer, but, you know, when you start using the word prayer, some people are very comfortable with that word, and other people, it automatically they go unconscious. It sounds like you're having a religion. And on this line, we've been learning how that actually works, how we create from the higher levels down into this level. So the people on BBS listening don't get a chance to hear this part, but the people on the line do. So if anyone is on BBS, excuse me, and they're interested in next week calling in on the phone line also, they can go to this website, and they'll find the directions on how to get here. And that is dimensional-shift.org. Dimensional-shift.org. And also I'd like to let you know that on Wednesdays, we have a live channeling with Matthew Edwards at 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Not on this phone number, on a different phone number, but it's also listed at dimensional-shift.org. And it's one of our most popular events, and great, great information comes through Matthew's source. So on that note, it's 6:52, we're 2 minutes over. We're going to send our blessings to everyone who's listening on BBS. And Seth can now disconnect us, and we'll do a calling in of the light and have our group intentions expressed here. Hang on just